Let me say good evening to everyone. I want to thank you for your presence on this afternoon. And I think as we were looking at that song, the one thing about it, and I'm saying this as a source of encouragement, is that one day we're going to have to find a home for our souls. Amen. Yeah, and that home for our souls, we hope that I think as we sung in the song, thank you, Brother Daniel, for leading us in that. What it's, the song says, Jesus is there and he is the light. And I want to encourage us on this afternoon, the fact that you're present here this afternoon says to me, hopefully, that you understand that your soul gonna need to be somewhere when this life is over. And so what we're doing now is we have to realize is that we can live in this life and not and be a member of the Lord's body and still not be spiritual. Yeah, because we become spiritual when we connect with the Word of God. God's Word is what caused us to be spiritual. And if I'm a spiritual person, we hope that Brother Brooks has some support on this afternoon over where he's speaking. But then there's others, and hopefully we'll pray for them that we grow and mature in the Lord and understand the importance of every time I get an opportunity to hear the Word of God, I want to hear the Word of God. Amen. You know, it's like coming hearing the Word of God, if I can use an example, would be like one going to the doctor for a checkup. You know, every time you go in for your annual checkup, the doctor should be able to share something with you to improve yourself. The doctor should be able to tell me, Brother Mr. Stroud, I need you to work on this or do this, or are you doing good in this area? So whenever you come to hear the Word of God, you should leave from here with your soul feeling better. You know, your soul feeling better. Why? Because I've heard something from the Word of God that can help me spiritually. Yeah, and it's my responsibility, Brother Brooks' responsibility, as we preach God's Word, that we share with you God's Word, that it can help you spiritually. And those that are spiritual will do those things that God has commanded. So I want to exhort you on this afternoon. I know we have to understand, and I know we live in a world where our flesh will pull against us. You know, will pull against us. Get from Galatians chapter 5, Brother Brother Pope, let me look in there. Galatians chapter 5. Let me just share with us something. And I'm saying this as an encouragement for those of us that are here. I'm going to share God's Word. Won't hopefully not be before you long, but I think I want to encourage you in that text. In Galatians chapter 5, and Paul in his letter to the Galatians says something in verse number 16. Galatians 5 and 16, before I get into my text. He said, this I say then.
Walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
For the flesh
lusteth against the Spirit.
And
the Spirit against the flesh.
And these are
contrary
one
to the other.
So that
ye cannot do the things that you would.
So we ought to understand that we live in a life now. I know we had worship service this morning, and there's a pull on us a desire on us to stay at home this afternoon and not come back to evening worship, afternoon worship. I've gone to worship one time. Well, that's your flesh talking to you. That's your flesh talking. Yeah, I talked about before. We have two influences in us. In Romans letter, won't go there now, but Romans letter talks about the law of God and the law of sin. It's something that pulls on you to tell you, well, I got something else to do. I got to take care of this. I can take care of that. But when you walk in the Spirit, you will be back. You will come to every service you're able to come to. Amen. That's if you walk in the Spirit, if you're spiritual. Now, if I'm not there yet, if there's some carnality in me, I'll take a break from worship service. But the one thing I want to share with all of us, I'm hurting myself when I don't give myself to the Word of God. Yeah, I'm hurting myself. You know, so you have to understand it. Understand this here. As we get older, you know, sometimes I found this with some of our senior members. You go to the doctor, and the doctor tell you that, you know, give you your prognosis and tell you what your diagnosis is, and he would tell you, well, you know, Mr. Stroud, if you would have, about 10 years ago, if you would have started doing this, you wouldn't have these issues right now. But because you didn't do that, that's why, and I'm saying, and for some of us, that we're going to find when we get old in our life, you're going to want to do that, and you're not going to be able to do that because it's not part of you. We have to understand that behavior is something that's learned. Either you're going to learn to be faithful to God or you're going to learn not to be. And I'm saying this as an encouragement. I'm not saying this in no way to try to reprove or reproof some. I'm saying that as an encouragement for those of us that are here this afternoon. Understand, when it's all said and done, the only thing that's going to matter is whether you did the will of God.
Amen.
Nothing else going to matter. It ain't going to matter how much money you made and all the other stuff you got, how much you possess. What's going to matter is whether you obey God. You know, and I'm saying to all of us, those that are here this evening, I want to encourage you, just stay with the Word of God. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have some tribulation. But you know what? When I learn to just do what God say do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to prioritize my life that I put the will of God first. Jesus said, how do you prioritize? Like, get from Matthew 6:33. Yeah, Matthew 6:33. He said, well, Brother Stiles, what should come first in my life? What should come second? Do my children come first? Do my wife come first? What comes first in my life? Well, Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6:33. What did he say?
But seek ye first
the kingdom of God
and his righteousness.
Yeah.
And all these things shall be added unto you.
So I got to understand that God, Jesus said this here. So what comes first? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. That's the church of Christ. He's saying all these things. Notice in the previous verse, he talked about what we should wear, what we should drink, what we should put on. He said all these things should be added. Put the Lord first in your life. Yeah. The Lord comes first before anything else. Why? Because God will teach me how to become a better husband. God will teach me how to become a better father. But I got to seek the church first to learn those things.
Amen.
That's why I learned it. That's why I learned it. So put the Lord first in your life. And allow God to lead your life, then that's walking in the Spirit. Yeah, I'm following the commands that were given by the Holy Spirit, and you guess what? It becomes hard for me to give in to the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 1. You know, in the afternoon, we have a Brother Brooks has in the Hebrew letter talking about those men and women of faith. And so I was asked when I mount in the afternoon to just find one of the prophets. I think the Hebrew writer talks about the prophets. And so I just find one of the prophets. And I want to give you some encouragement from the prophet on this afternoon. And the message will be yours as we look at the Word of God and see what God has said in his Word. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, Brother Pope, if you'll start there.
The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anath in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah.
Okay.
In the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month.
Okay, so now what Jeremiah is doing, he's just sharing with us that the word of God came to him. And he talked about who was the kings during that time. He said Josiah was the king of Judah. And he talked about some of the other kings that followed him. And the word of God came unto him. And so I just want to share with us briefly from that, he said in verse 4, he said, then the word of the Lord
came unto me.
And notice what it said.
Saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
Mm-hmm.
And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee.
Yeah.
And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
So now he said, thank you. He said that the word of the Lord came unto him. And notice what God said to him. God said to him, before I formed thee in the belly, God said, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, God said, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. I know when I was growing up as a little kid, we used to have what they used to call sanctified churches. I don't know if y'all know anything about that. But in Florida, they used to say, that's a sanctified church. And you ain't know what they was doing. You just knew to stay away from there, you know. But sanctified is a biblical term. And I think we need to understand what it means to be sanctified. But I also want to say this, is that, see, we have to understand, when I look at this verse tells me that God said, when that child was in the belly, God said, I knew you. That's why abortions is wrong.
Amen.
Yeah. See, all you got to do is just look into God's word. Yeah. You don't have no choice. You know, man can't give you no choice where God didn't give you one. God said, when you were in the belly, when you were formed in the belly, God said, I knew you then. You wasn't just something that somebody can just get rid of. God said that I knew you. You was a person when you was in the belly. Amen. Then he said, even before you came out of the womb, God said, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And so the question before, I talked about being sanctified. Well, are Christians sanctified? Yeah, good question. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let you know, if you're a Christian, you are sanctified. Yeah, you are sanctified. We ain't no sanctified church, but sanctified is a term that's used to refer to those that are Christians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, get your Bible. Put your Bibles out. Get the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me get that with you. Yeah. Because I want to show you that God told Jeremiah that I sanctified thee. So when we look as a Christian, we are also sanctified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 1, Brother Polk, if you would.
Furthermore, then when ye beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more.
Yeah, hold right there. Now, notice what he said. Now, this is what I did when I first mounted the pulpit today. Notice what he said. He said, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, excuse me. He said, he said, and we exhort you. Exhort means simply to him. You know, I exhorted you by the Lord Jesus. In other words, I'm giving you Bible to encourage you. He said, Paul said, I exhorted you by the Lord Jesus, watch this, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to do what? Please God, so you would abound more and more. So my encouragement to you, as you do as I'm doing, that you ought to walk and to please God. We need to learn that life is about also trying to please God, not just trying to please ourselves.
Amen.
Yeah, so Paul said to the Thessalonians in his first letter that you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so you would abound, that you would abound more and more. For you know what?
Commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus.
So we give you, every Sunday we mount the pulpit, we give you commandments that God has given through his word. And so Paul said to them, he said, you know the commandments that we gave you by the Lord. And this is the will of God, he said.
Even your sanctification.
Yeah.
That ye should abstain from fornication.
So he said, now this is the will of God. Notice he said, even your sanctification. We are sanctified. And the word sanctified means that you have a relationship with God, which begins when you obey the gospel and you become a Christian. Now, as God did with Jeremiah, now everyone that becomes a Christian, you become sanctified. Now you have a relationship. Jeremiah had a relationship with God, and God wanted him to be a prophet. Well, when you become a Christian, you are sanctified, and God wants you to serve him as a child of God. Yeah, child of God. And so that word sanctification again means is that relationship with God which Christians become by obedience to the gospel. When you obey the gospel, when you come out of the water, one thing is the word sanctification, you'll find out I get to it when I get to the closed text. The word sanctification simply means also to become holy. God makes you holy because God then clean you up. That's why Peter said, be ye holy. And so we can be Christian. Doesn't mean we're not going to sin, but what we can try to do is we can grow to try to sin less and less and less. We're never going to be sinless.
Amen.
Yeah, none of us going to be sinless, but I can try to grow to sin less. That'll catch up with you when you get in your car this afternoon. Amen, somebody. But notice what he said. He said
that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel
for
sanctification and honor.
So in other words, what are you talking about? Well, Paul, evidently, this was an issue in Thessalonica, but it's an issue in Houston, Lanaka, even today. And that's fornication. Yeah, it ain't just a Thessalonica issue. It's we talked about it in our class today. Understand this. Let me just say this here. I'll drop this for free. You're here now. Sometimes, I said this in the men's class today, and I say it to the church today, and maybe it'll encourage you. Be careful. Be careful when you're out there in the world, because the stuff you do in the world, you can obey the Lord, and that stuff going to follow you in the church. Yeah, yeah. You go out there and sow your wild oats in the world, it's going to come with you when you come into the church. And some of the challenges we have now, and I'm saying this as a marriage counselor, some of the challenges we have in marriage counseling is when you have yours, mine, and ours. Yeah. Where the young people say, keep it 100. Yeah. I'm saying because when you come in and when you have other relationships before you come in the Lord, them relationships follow you. And you now got to deal with people that are not Christian, don't care about Christianity, and they going to do what they want to do. But guess what? You got a relationship now with that person. It's quiet in here now. I'm just trying to help us.
Amen.
I'm trying to help us because I know when I sit in counseling sessions, that's one of the first questions I ask. How many do you have? How many do you have? How many of y'all have together? Yeah. Yeah. And what I found in my counseling, I'm just sharing. You won't have no problem with the hours because that belongs to us. The problem comes with yours and with mine. Yeah. And so Paul was telling them in the text, he said, this is the will of God, that you be sanctified. And that you should abstain from fornication. Some of the biggest issues we have is because we went outside when we were young and did some things. And those things will follow us. I mean, y'all, I'm just saying what Paul said in the text.
Amen.
Watch what he said in verse 4. He said, but every one of you, notice what he said, you need to learn how to control your vessel. Yeah, you need to control your body. And we still need to teach that our young people abstain from sexual relationships. Yeah, that need to come from the pulpit.
Amen.
Because you ain't going to hear it in school. Your children ain't going to hear it in school, and they ain't going to hear nobody else because everybody else doing what they want to do. Yeah, but we got to teach what the Word of God says. And whether we do it or not, that's where your issues and challenges come from. Amen, somebody. So Paul told him that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. You don't honor God when I go outside and I do those things that's not consistent with the will of God. There is no honor in doing that behavior.
Amen.
Yeah. He said, not in. Verse 5.
Not in the lust of concupiscence,
even
as the Gentiles, which know not God.
What he was telling me, see, you got people in the world, they do that. They have children out there, children going and coming. But that's not us. And that's why we got to teach that's not us. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, we got to teach that. He said now, don't be like those that are in the world, a Gentile. They don't know God. We in the church, we know God. We got to teach our children what's right and expect them to do what's right.
Amen.
That no man.
Go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified.
So Paul said this to the Thessalonians. He said, understand this here. If you are sanctified, he said, now, part of sanctification is that, he said, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Evidently, they had situations where brothers were defrauding one another. That's why when you read the letter, understand when you read a letter oftentimes, Paul is responding to things that were going on in the church.
Amen.
You know, Paul did that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me show you an example of that in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Yeah. And 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 1. And I'm almost finished. I'm going to close this thing down and y'all go home. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Watch what Paul said.
Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me.
Read.
It is good for a man not to touch a woman.
Read.
Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife.
Uh-huh.
And let every woman have her own husband.
Yeah, so now notice this here now. Notice the consistency. Now Paul said to them, notice they wrote Paul a letter. Because Paul said, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. Y'all wrote me a letter. Y'all asked me these questions. He said, now, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Watch this here. He said, nevertheless, evidently, there was a problem not only in Thessalonica, not only in Houston, but there was a problem in Corinth also.
Amen.
Because he talked about fornication again. Nevertheless. To avoid fornication, get married.
Let every man have his own wife.
Yeah.
And let every woman have her own husband.
Yeah, to avoid fornication. That ain't the only reason you get married, but one of the reasons is to avoid fornication. So this was the issue. Paul said, but the point I was showing you is that Paul, they wrote some things to Paul, and Paul were responding to them. So evidently they talked about fornication. They talked about marriage in that text. They talked about, notice he talked about the woman, verse number 39, they talked about a woman in verse number 39. Read what he says. She lost her husband.
The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth.
Yeah.
But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord.
So evidently there was a sister there that her husband died. And so they wrote in part of the letter, Paul said, let me address this here. She said, now, the woman, understand this here. You are, Sister Stroud, you are bound to Brother Stroud as long as Brother Stroud live. That's what the Lord said. He said, however, if Brother Stroud be dead, you free to marry to whom you will, long as he is a Christian.
Amen.
Only in the Lord. The only way a person be in the Lord, they got to be a Christian. Yeah, you can marry Sister Stroud. Brother Stroud, I die, and I'm gone. She is free. That's what the Lord said. Paul told him, that sister can get married again. Just make sure she marry another Christian. That's what the Lord said. Excuse me. Yeah, so my job is to provide the best life I can for my wife. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And when I'm dead and gone, no matter what she do out there, it ain't going to bother me no more.
Yep.
People are like, well, I don't want her to have no money about that. Just give her the money. Yeah, you know how y'all brothers are. Yeah. Well, if I leave here early, I want her to have all I can give to her. Amen, somebody. All the insurance I can give her, I want her to have. Yeah. I want to have as much money that God would allow me to give her. Now, what she do with it and who she do it with ain't got nothing to do with me. Yeah. Brother, you got to stop being selfish, brothers. Now, sister, y'all ought to be saying, come on, brother, I'll preach some more on that. Yeah, because we don't know when we're going to go. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, when you die, I want Sister Stroud to have the most comfortable life she can have if I leave before her.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I want her life to be as stress-free as possible. Yeah, no, hopefully no financial concern because I managed things well while I was here.
Amen.
Yeah, I managed things well. Now, what you do with that money, somebody else come up and out, you ain't going to have nothing to do. Ain't like I can come back down and say, don't let him in. Yeah, let him in. Do what you want to do. Yeah, it's your thing. Yeah, I'm just telling you, but I'm saying as a Christian, we got to possess it. So the text was simply teaching here that God has commanded us. God, notice he said, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. But he said only.
In the Lord.
Only.
In the Lord.
And to be in the Lord means you're a Christian.
Amen.
Here. So you don't marry, no minister. I don't marry people that are not Christians. Yeah. Yeah, no, no, I don't do that. Amen?
Amen?
Let me get back to my text. So the Lord, Paul was saying, I'm just sharing with us that 1 Thessalonians, that we are sanctified. We are what God can be. Go back to Thessalonians, Brother Pope. One other verse in there, and then I'm going to close it on what Jeremiah said, and the message will be yours. But he said, in verse number 7, I didn't use that verse. For God
have not called us unto uncleanness.
But unto what?
Unto holiness.
So the word, when you study the word sanctification and the word holiness is the same Greek word. They mean the same. The only thing he did was he just changed it. Instead of saying, he could have said, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification. But he just said, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. The word means the same. Meaning God, when you obey God and you became a Christian, God didn't make you, didn't clean you up so you can go back out there and get dirty.
Amen.
Amen. God cleaned us up. And I said, we said this in our class this morning. Thank Brother Hewitt for facilitating. Understand this here. As a Christian, you got to grow in the Lord. You got to grow. As a Christian, as a babe in Christ, you may get dirty every day. Because you're trying to learn how to be clean. But once you get there, God sometimes expect you to grow to the point that you can be clean.
Amen.
Yeah, don't mean we're not going to be sinless. We're going to sin, but now we're sinning less. So again, I wanted to show us in the text, as God, as I come to my close, I'll go back to Jeremiah chapter 1, Brother Pope, as God had sanctified Jeremiah, set him aside, and made him a prophet. When you became a Christian, God set you aside. And God expects us to grow as a Christian. And notice now, in the text, God expects us to be holy. Yeah, God don't expect me just to become a Christian. And I've been in the church 5 and 10 years, and there is no growth in me. Yeah, there is no growth in me. I haven't gotten better. Nobody can see no change. I'm still the same way. If I had a temper 10 years ago, I still got a temper. If somebody made me mad, I cussed them out 10 years ago, I'll cuss you out today. Well, at some point, I got to grow.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what he's saying. Possess your vessel. That's what he said. In other words, you got to, when you just shut up.
Amen.
You ain't got nothing good to say. The people tell you, you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say
nothing.
Yeah. That's all.
Amen.
When you get so hot that you don't know you finna blow up, just shut up. Yeah, say, Sister Stroud, time out. Look here, give me some space. I need some space. Yeah, I need some distance. Yeah. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But God expects us. You got to, and I'm saying, even the brothers and sisters, it amazes me. Well, I shouldn't be. The Bible says don't be amazed. When you have Christians that been in the Lord and we can't get along with each other, I mean, it's like you, Brother Mike, come to me and Mike say something, I say something, I don't agree with him, he don't agree with Mike, how can we settle this? You can't be no Christian and not settle. Go to Matthew 5. I'll show you in the Bible. Give you Bible for stuff. I'm going to tell you how to walk in the Spirit. What happened when we have arguments? What do we do? I don't agree with him. What did God tell you what to do? Yeah, Matthew chapter Matthew 5 and 24. But start at verse 23. And I'm going to close on Jeremiah 1:6. Matthew 5 and 23. Therefore,
if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembers that thy brother hath aught against thee,
yeah,
leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way.
Now watch what Jesus said to do. Now don't come to worship service. You know, when you know you and your brother got it all against you, God said, go your way, do what?
Go thy way first, be reconciled.
What'd you
to
say,
thy
first?
First, be reconciled.
First.
Be reconciled.
First.
Be reconciled.
Read.
To thy brother.
Yeah.
And then come and offer thy gift.
Don't be calling nobody and telling them what's going on. God told us, when you have an issue with somebody, go, God, excuse me, God say first, go to your brother, go to your brother and be reconciled. Yeah. Me and Cedric got a difference about something. Go, Cedric, I'll talk to you for a minute. You know, man, this happened and that happened and this happened. Man, I just want to apologize for what I did. But Stroud, that's okay, man. We cool. You know, me and you got a good relationship and it's all right. That's what God say do.
Amen.
That's what God say do. But what see, the problem we have in the church is that when we don't follow God. Remember now, I got a fleshly side. Fleshly side say, man, hate on Cedric and go talk about it. That's the fleshly side. Yeah, but if you got a spiritual side, when the word of God tell me, so now when I have a difference with somebody, I'm going to go to that person. And I'm saying, I've learned this about Christians. Sometimes with Christians, we don't care for confrontation.
Amen.
Yeah. Husband and wife, that's why sometimes we don't get along, because you don't want to confront nobody. Yeah. Now, I told Sister Trout there, I said, Sister Trout, look here, anytime you want me to do something, you come in there and you ask me to do it, and if I get mad, that's my problem. Yeah, you need to have a sister. You need to tell him to go to the store, and he go to the store. Yeah. Sister, y'all ought to say amen, because I know he won't go to the store now, especially if he's watching the game. Yeah. Elma, I ain't going to call you. I'm sorry, Elma, I didn't mean to say your name, because I know it's Jane. Yeah. Hey, man, I'm just having fun. And honestly, notice now, usually when I use people, that's the people I love and I know I have a good relationship with. Because some of y'all, I didn't want you to call my name in church. Because I have a relationship with people, you can have that relationship. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so God is saying simply, again, and I'm closing, is the way that we become, and notice this here, when you do it God's way, you won't have the stressors and the pressures that you often have. Amen. No, I can come to worship service every Sunday. I don't have no ought against nobody, and if there was a difference, I will call that person, say, brother, we need to talk. Now, I ain't going to come here and be hiding. If something's wrong, if I wronged you, just call me to the side. Brother Stroud, you did this to me. Brother, I apologize. I didn't know I did it. Do you accept my apology? That's it. And then you have a wholesome relationship. We need to have better relationships in the body than what we have sometimes. Yeah. But when we do it God's way, yeah, God say, go and don't come here and try to worship me. Leave your gift at the altar. Go and the word reconcile, when you study the word means to sell it. Me and Floyd got an issue. God said, go sell it. Go your way, go sell it. Then come and worship me. Amen? Go back to Jeremiah 1 and 6, and I'm closing. Jeremiah 1 and 6, and then Philippians 4 and 3, and I'm going to extend the invitation to message over. Getting us up out of here. Jeremiah 1 and 6. I want to share something that Jeremiah said, and sometimes some of us may have this same issue Jeremiah had. Jeremiah 1 and 6.
Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child.
Yeah, that's good. That's it. Then I get from Philippians 4 and 13. I'm on plant mistake right there. For all of us, when God came to Jeremiah, and God said, I have sanctified you. I want you to be a prophet. Jeremiah looked at himself. And Jeremiah responded to God, saying, behold, I can't speak. I'm but a child. And I'm saying to all of us out there, sometimes you may feel inferior to do something. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13 gave me all the encouragement I need. Because Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 13, what did he say?
I can do all things.
I can what?
I can do all things.
Through?
Christ, which strengthens me.
Yeah. So I'm saying to all of us, don't be like Jeremiah. Jeremiah felt that, Lord, I'm a child.
I can't speak to nobody. And God had to tell Jeremiah, I'm with you. Amen. And I'm saying to those of us today, understand whatever challenges you have, you got God with you.
Amen.
Paul said, I can do all things. Get for me the 18th verse in there. Paul said, I can do in Philippians 4. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Let me get there with you. And then notice what he said in verse number 19. Read.
But my God shall supply all your need
according
to his riches in glory.
So Paul said,
by Christ Jesus.
Thank you. I'm sorry, brother. I'll poke and allow you to finish reading. Paul said, understand this here, and I'm saying as I close, Paul said, when it comes to me as a Christian, I got to have the mindset that I can do all things through Jesus Christ. And what the word strengthen is here means, what God is saying, the word means that, the word strengthen is in the text means suggesting the quality or trait that allows one to deal with problems in a determined way. In other words, what God don't strengthen me physically, but God will strengthen my purpose. You know, sometimes you can get up in the morning and you say, I'm determined. I'm going to fix that car today. You wake up in the morning, you say, man, I'm going to do it today. That's all that God is talking about. God, you got to say to yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Excuse me. That's the mindset that we have. And so, unlike Jeremiah, we have a mindset that I can do all things to strengthen me. And notice what Paul said before he closed the letter. He said, but my God, notice he made it personal, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's, in other words, when God, when you got needs, and we sometimes all got needs, I got to have the confidence that God will supply all of my needs.
Amen.
That's my confidence. God can supply. Now, whether he does or not, the thing I know, he can. God can. And so I got all confidence. He strengthened my purpose. God will give you that you need to get on in life. Amen.
Amen.
And I notice now we live in the life now, you need some to deal with the devil. Yeah, we need that. But if you're not here today, you're not a Christian. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14, Brother Polkin, I'm finishing. And hopefully I'll say something today that would, your coming back to afternoon service have been an encouragement to you, because the word of God, as Brother Brooks said this morning, it ain't the messenger, it's the message.
Amen.
I've gone into the message. I read you the letter that Paul wrote to others that can strengthen you in your walk. Because I know we go through trials. And when God strengthens us, in other words, you got to have a determination. Young people in school, you got to have a determination that I'm going to finish class. I'm going to get this degree. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to graduate. That's the mindset you have. You know, I'm just determined. And I'm asking for God to help me with these cases. But in 1 Thessalonians, if you want to become sanctified, someone here that's not a Christian, how do I become a Christian? I'm going right back to the Thessalonian letter in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13 to 14, brother. And I'll open it up from there. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14.
For this cause, also thank we, God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men.
Wasn't the word of men, but as it is.
In truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
Okay. So now, what Paul was saying is that the word that a person must hear is called the gospel. And that gospel that one must hear tells us how one become a Christian. One must hear the word of God, hear specifically that Jesus Christ, well, first of all, God loved you enough that Christ died on the cross for your sin. Christ suffered on the cross, nails in his hands and feet. He died on the cross. He became sin for us. You must believe that. That's the word from God that you must believe. And if you believe that, you heard it, you believe it, you repent of your sin. In other words, the life you've been living away from God, you turn to God. That's repentance. And then you'll come down this morning or this afternoon, you'll make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we will water baptize you for the remission of all your past sins, and then the Lord himself will add you to the church of Christ. Now you are sanctified, you are holy. Every sin that you've done will be washed away in water, because by faith the blood of Christ is in the water to cleanse us of our sins. If there's someone today that would like to respond to the gospel message in any way, shape, or form, we bid you to come as together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn.